thanks for having me, and thanks for listening. And one of my goals for this talk is that through reflecting on my life and what brought me to this point, I'm really hoping that it will be helpful for all of you, and at the very least, entertaining. So, you know, when I got here, my fly was down, and I took care of that.
Somebody help you with it.
At least nothing's on Inside Out. That sometimes happens too. So I'll just start from the beginning. I think one of my earliest memories was standing in our driveway in Marin County, California, in this little pair of very authentic moccasins that I had, that, you know, the kind where they chew on the leather and they have that wonderful smell. And standing there, feeling the gravel through the moccasins and looking up at the trees and just wanting to be a part of all of that, or feeling a part of all that. And having that be hugely important to me, that that was something that I identified with. And later, when I was about 9, I made a little altar secretly in a closet. And on the altar, I had those moccasins. And I would stand in front of the altar in the dark, in the closet, and I was really into Indians, Native American stuff, and had, you know, at one point become an Indian and refused to wear shoes or eat with forks in an attempt to connect with the earth, and that, you know, all the stories around the Native Americans and things that I knew about them, and the spiritual side of that. I wanted that, but I had no idea how to get there. And I would stand in front of this altar, and I would try, but I had no idea what I was doing. And it was really frustrating. And I knew that there was more. I knew that there was this possibility of an experience that was deeper and greater and beyond the ordinary, and I could never get it. And so I was raised Unitarian, and I love the Unitarian Church for many things, but it didn't provide that. It didn't provide the hardcore practice that could get you from here to there, that could create that or help access that experience that is profound and transformative and outside of the ordinary. But they do practice a side that I feel is hugely important, which is really examining ethical issues, and values and moral issues, and creating a community of people that is willing to live and act on those values. And I think that's part of my Unitarian background that I'm very proud of. And my mom was raised Episcopalian, and so we would, on holidays, we'd go to church. We're, you know, one of those families that shows up on Christmas and Easter. And I loved the incense, and I loved the, you know, the buildings and all of that. But from when I was little, the teachings made me squirm. But I also was, you know, was surrounded by people who were, you know, they get up and they'd read from the Bible, and there obviously was this faith that was very profound. And I part of my Unitarian upbringing was to really respect that faith. And I think that I believed in the faith, although I didn't have the faith myself. I believed in the ability to have that kind of faith, and I really respected that. And my position has changed a little bit on that, and I'll talk about that in a bit. And Koshin, if you could help me with time, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So that was sort of what my upbringing. In my 20s, I discovered Buddhism. I'm not sure how. I can't remember how. I did a lot of yoga, and that was kind of parallel in some ways, the introduction of, you know, Eastern religious ideas stillness, meditation was all a part of that. But for me, it was more the physical movement, although I loved the ideas, but it wasn't a real access for me. And whenever it was that I discovered Buddhism, it was like hitting home base. The attempts that I had had when I was younger to access the connection, there was, you know, a way to get there. And so that was cool, but I was on my own. I think I met one Buddhist in my 20s, and that was nice, but really it was mostly on my own. And so I would experiment, you know, with sitting, it was Jack Kornfield's book that really got me started. And then I went into Peace Corps, and I brought Jack Kornfield's book, and I brought a book by the Dalai Lama, and I would sit, and it was hard. Sitting is really hard. I still feel like it's hard work. But I was still on my own, but I had a couple really cool experiences there, because I started teaching a yoga class, not to the other Peace Corps volunteers. I was in West Africa, Guinea-Bissau, West Africa, but to about 3 Ghanaians. And so these ideas were completely foreign to them. And one day, one of my yoga students came, and he had been drinking cashew wine. And I was just like, oh, what do I do? And I didn't know what to do, so I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. And then he came up to me afterwards, and he was like, you know, I had some cashew wine before coming, and it seems like maybe that's not what you're supposed to do. And it was so cool to me, because it was so... There wasn't any guilt around it or judgment or anything like that. It was just like, this does one thing and this does another thing, and do the two go together? You know? And that was so cool to me. And then another experience was just, I was teaching English there, and I got into a conversation about Buddhism with one of my students. And he was really intrigued by it and had never, I mean, Buddhism was like, it was, how do you say it? You know, mm-hmm. Totally foreign idea. And just discussing the ideas with somebody who was coming at it so fresh, and he asked me to talk about it in the class. And so I talked about it a little bit, and then had them sit on their desks and do a moment of silent meditation. And that was a really neat discussion, just because it was so eye-opening, and you know, the ideas behind it and how that might be applied. And this was at a time they were building mosques everywhere at the time. I mean, it was sort of the beginning of that resurgence of Islam. So then I came back and ended up a couple years later on Vashon Island, where I met Koshin and came to the Zen Center. And that was really my very first, and again, it was like coming home. It was my very first experience of a group and a teacher alive in the flesh. And it's been years of sort of cracking this nut open. And I've never been very good at having a regular practice, but it's the thinking about it and being with it and doing the family Zen and coming when I come, sitting when I sit at home. It is definitely a part of my daily thoughts and awareness and everything. But one of the really important things that's given me access to the ideas and the ability to practice in Buddhism is something completely outside of Buddhism. I don't know. I don't talk about it with people much, because there's like people who have heard about it are kind of squeamish. But is anybody here familiar with the Landmark Forum? Yeah, one person. Yeah. So I did the Landmark Forum, and it was completely transformative for me. It's a they do workshops around the world, people feel like it's kind of cultish or what, it's not. And it there are a lot of parallels in the ideas between Lama reform and Buddhism. And it gave me access to those ideas in a way that I was not able to access them and practice them. And the big thing about the Landmark Forum is that you restore integrity to your life, that where things are not working and they're broken, that you take responsibility of that and own it and restore integrity. And that your access to that is the present moment. And they teach concepts, and then you have to take that concept and you have to apply it immediately. So in the course, it's like a 3-day course. You'd never know it was 3 days when you go through it. It's really intense. And they teach you these things, and then you have to go home and you have to pick up the phone and you have to make phone calls to people who are in your life, who maybe are not in your life anymore because the friendship fell away. Or there's something happening at work with your boss, and it's you're really struggling with that relationship, and you call them and you say, I did this. This is my part of this. And the story is that, you know, people would come back the next day and they'd be like, I talked to my brother who I haven't talked to in 10 years, and he's flying out here tomorrow, and we're, you know, the relationship is restored. So for me, that was huge. And just a couple of examples of things that are parallel that are taught in the Landmark Forum. Thoughts have a physical place in your body and are real, but they are not you. And that we create story, and that the more you can separate the story from what happened, the more you will experience joy. Do these things sound familiar? but they believe that, or they teach that the access to this is through language, and that's where the big difference between the Landmark Forum and Buddhism is, because they teach that the present moment is your access. You can live, your past determines your future so long as you're not present in the present moment, and that the present moment is your access to creating a future that's unpredictable. But they believe that that access is through language, and that's where Buddhism is different, in that you drop the language to gain access to the present moment and separate the story from the what's actually there. So putting those two together have been really powerful for me. So I just wanted to share that with the group. That's been a huge part of what has gotten me to where I am now. And I think the current huge influences on me right now are Sam Harris. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Sam Harris, but he's shaking the boat a little these days. He's a Buddhist, is really talking about the ideas of Buddhism outside of Buddhism and in the greater world. And and the other part that's been really influential in my life recently is skepticism. And I feel like, so for where I'm at right now, just to tie it all together, with the spiritual journey, I feel like I've really finally gotten it. I think Kosha needs a bigger stick. If I had just like been smacked around a little harder earlier on, maybe that's what happened a few years back. But I really believe that the access to all this is through the breath. Like just throughout the day, not even necessarily meditating, but just finding the breath and finding the moment and realizing where your thoughts are, realizing what it is that you're saying in that moment and where it's coming from. Because it's that awareness in the moment that gives you that. And that really is where joy can come from. And that the breath gives you access to the two experiences that I may never have, the potential that we have for these greater spiritual experiences that can give us such insight. And the other side to that is the teaching and the thoughts and the language around all of this and the ideas. And I think that's where Buddhism is similar to science, in that it is a way of trying to examine what is really happening. And if you find that something's not true, that you throw it out. And that's true with science too. And I think that there's a convergence in our world. We're really trying to figure out as human beings some pretty important stuff, because how the world occurs to us and how we think about it determines our actions. And our actions right now are critical to our survival. And I think that skepticism, science, and Buddhism are all together in trying to really distinguish between story and truth and reality, and how we move forward wisely. And that there are a lot of other conversations in the world out there happening, and a lot of them are around religion. And I, going back to my respect for faith, I've lost a lot of that respect for faith, not for the people. I haven't lost my respect for people, and their search for meaning in life, I think, is universal to all of us. But that the a lot of the beliefs that are out there are pitting us against each other or making us do things that are crazy. And I feel like it's really important that Buddhists be a part of the conversation politically and out there in the world. That the outward part, that we need to be out there, that it's important that we be out there, and that our inward practice is critical to our ability to distinguish between story and reality. So that's where I'm at now. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Stay seated.
Okay.
Not yet. That's right. That's right. Let's go. Yeah. So I'll just.